Yeah, you're not going to forget that one. And I said that to say this, the student team in faith and in belief for the revival that our youth is going to see in Jesus' name. They felt it would be appropriate to keep the students in the sanctuary to be able to learn how to pray their friends through to the gift of the Holy Ghost. So I think that'd be a good thing. And amen. 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 So at this time, we're going to dismiss our children and our children's team. God bless them. We love and appreciate them. And the rest of you, if you would, why don't you just take a few minutes and get down the aisles and greet somebody, shake somebody's hand, welcome somebody to the house of the Lord, and we'll get into the teaching of the word of the Lord tonight. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Again, thank you for being in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Can we just lift our hands one more time in our voices and just give him praise? We love you, Jesus. Go ahead and lift your voice. Give him praise. Give him praise. We love you. 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 We give you glory and honor and praise. We give you glory and honor and praise. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. As I've already said, tonight's teaching is going to focus on the proper way to pray for people to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And now, there's probably more that we could have put into here. There's probably some things maybe that I, inadvertently have left out. But this hopefully will give us a good understanding of how to pray for people to receive the Holy Ghost. But not just the Holy Ghost, but how many know sometimes people need a breakthrough. Sometimes people just need a blessing from the Lord. And so just some keys, some biblical thoughts, some ideas, some principles for how to do that. And so how many know this kind of teaching is very important. And it's been several years since we have taught on altar working, and I'm just so grateful that we have such a good crowd here tonight to be able to learn this. And it's obviously this coming Sunday. This teaching is important for this coming Sunday. This Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, our all-campus Holy Ghost service. We are believing God for a mighty outpouring and a mighty release of His glory and His presence. We're believing for many to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. How many already have faith to believe that? How many have an expectancy in your heart? Oh, hallelujah. Come with expectancy. Come with faith. Amen. Amen. But more than just coming with expectancy, come with somebody that needs the gift of the Holy Ghost. Do your best, absolute best, to bring somebody, to invite somebody to the house of the Lord on this Sunday. So it's going to be great. But we're not just teaching this because of what's happening this Sunday. Because how many know there's going to be a Sunday, if the Lord tarries, after this Sunday? And a Thursday, and a Sunday, and a Tuesday, and a Wednesday. And we're going to believe that it's the will of God for us to just continually, how many know in the book of Acts, they were saved daily. Amen. If they did it then, and if they saw that then, how many know we can see it now? I got a few of you to believe that. Amen. And so it is that this teaching is important because of what God is doing in our church. The Lord is blessing this church. And this church is seeing growth, and He's blessing our church with multiple guests and visitors. Each Sunday, it seems like we have more guests and different guests, and many of which respond in some form or fashion to the presence of the Lord. And as they respond, either in their pew or in the altar, how many know we need to be able to feel comfortable in praying for people? Amen. And I know sometimes we're hesitant because we don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. We don't want to do the wrong thing. We don't know what the right thing is. And so hence the teaching tonight to try to bring some clarity, try to bring some understanding in order for all of us to feel more comfortable to pray for these individuals that God is sending to us. How many want to be as effective working the altars as you can possibly be? Amen. I want to be effective. I want to be an effective altar worker, and I know the Lord is going to help us with that. Now, we got several things to discuss tonight, and I apologize for my voice, but we're going to get through this, and God's going to help us. We're going to try to go quick. This would be a great lesson to take some notes on so that you remember. If you want to have some notes, that'll be fine. The definition of altar working is simply to instruct, to assist, and or to lead the seeker to an experience with God. Amen. How many know that's our job? But how many know that our responsibility of helping them to experience God in an altar begins a long time before we ever get to the altar? Their experience and our help in that experience begins a long time before we ever get to this altar. Days and even weeks, if they're your friends or your family members, co-workers, days and even weeks before they ever step foot into this building, we would encourage you to be talking to them about the Holy Ghost, talking to them about the Word of the Lord, talk to them about the promises of God. I mean, we are to be a witness. We are to be a witness. And a witness is just to do what you have seen and what you've heard. That's a witness, seen and heard. And so just begin to share with that person of how the Holy Ghost has changed your life and how the Holy Ghost has changed your marriage and what you used to be and what you are now. I used to be this, but now I'm this. And hopefully they're going to be shocked at the transformation. Hopefully. Going to be shocked at the transformation. And they're going to be like, there's no way you were that way. And bring pictures of what you used to look like and things of what they used to do. And they'll be like, there's no way that you used to be that. Yes. And the only thing that changed it was the power of the Holy Ghost that I received. See, what you're doing is you're already setting up that altar experience for them. And again, as we often say, you don't even have to wait to get to the altar on a Sunday. I mean, how many know you can pray them right through in the lunchroom at work or whatever it is, at your house or in the backyard? But setting that up where you are preparing their hearts by talking to them about the Holy Ghost and what the Holy Ghost has done for you. And we're going to try to make this as practical as we possibly can tonight, okay? And so this is a great way, begin to talk to them about the Holy Ghost. Answer as many questions ahead of time that they may have as you possibly can. Instead of waiting to get here to start answering questions, answer as many questions as you possibly can. Ask them, man, what do you think about the Holy Ghost? Or what do you have you ever heard about the Holy Ghost? Or what has been your experience with the Holy Ghost? And they're like, well, man, I've heard it's this, or I heard it's that, or I've always wondered this about the Holy Ghost. And you can begin to answer those questions ahead of time so that when they get here, they already have answers to these questions. Amen. And so that's kind of what happens outside of the room. But then, and this is all of our responsibility, when it is church time, it is absolutely imperative that we are on time and we are plugged in to prayer service. Okay? To prayer service. Our attendance and our dedication to prayer in our prayer service shows, hear me, it shows our level of interest and belief for what God is going to do in the service. If we don't show up, even though we could have shown up, if we don't show up to prayer service, it simply shows that we don't really care what happens in the service. I don't care enough about what's going to happen in that service to help make a difference. So I'm not just going to show up. I'm not trying to beat anybody up tonight. I'm just trying to help us all understand the importance of all of this. Okay? We don't necessarily believe anything good is going to happen. We're just coming to church. I'm just going to get there when it starts, and whatever happens, happens, and then I'm going to go home and get on with my life. And those that don't show up, It lets us know that that individual doesn't really care what's going to happen in the service. And how many know that's not a good thing? And this person's altar experience, it starts by the atmosphere that we create in the prayer service. Oh, hallelujah. So if you care about their altar experience, then we need to be here for prayer service to create the atmosphere for this individual to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And when we show up, how many know when we show up for prayer, again, there's a difference between being in the room and praying. There's a difference between sitting in the sanctuary and praying. How many know when we need to pray earnestly and we need to pray with intensity? I mean, no, there's a difference between kind of looking around, I love you, Jesus, hallelujah. There's a difference between that and, God, we need your touch today and your hand to be upon this place today. And I bind everything that is not of you today. I mean, no, there's a difference when you're plugged in and there's an intensity of prayer and you're wanting to connect with the moving of the Holy Ghost and the moving of the Spirit of the Lord. When we're willing to do that and when we desire to get to that place in prayer service, it shows that we care deeply about what is going to happen in the service. I care so deeply about the hurting people that are going to be in this room, the broken people that are going to be in this room, the addicted people that are going to be in this room, the suicidal people that are going to be in this room. I care so deeply for them that when it's time for prayer before all this happens, I'm going to, with intensity and with passion, I'm going to do what I have to do in order to create an atmosphere for that person to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, to be delivered, to be healed, to be set free, to receive what they need to receive from Almighty God. Prayer service is very, very important. Oh, hallelujah. The book would say it like this, James 5 and 16, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that they may be healed. Why? Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Availeth just means produces much, accomplishes much. We need to ask ourselves, what does our prayer look like in prayer service? I'm just going to kind of challenge some of us here today. But what does our prayer look like in altar service? How fervent is our prayer? If it is fervent prayers of a righteous individual that accomplishes much, then how fervent is our prayer? Because the word of the Lord has promised to us that fervent prayer accomplishes much. So how many know when we come for prayer service, there needs to be a fervency in our prayer? Oh, hallelujah. Don't leave me up here all by myself tonight. There needs to be a fervency in our prayers. Oh, hallelujah. And how many, listen, and you know, I get everybody prays different and all that kind of stuff, but fervency shows up. You can see passion, right? And somebody said, well, it's just not my personality. No, it is. If you get excited enough about something, it's going to show. I promise you it's going to show. And if it's going to show somewhere, how many know it should show up in prayer service? There should be a fervency. And so we need to ask ourselves the question, come Sunday, come Thursday, Sunday, prayer service, whatever it is, prayer meeting, Wednesday night prayer, revival, all this stuff. We need to ask ourselves, am I praying right now with a fervency? Is there an intensity about my prayer? Or am I just going through the motions? Am I just hoping somebody else prays with fervency in order to create an atmosphere? Or am I taking it upon myself to accomplish something in the spirit through my fervent prayer? Oh, hallelujah. Now, I realize, I want to talk to the church now. I realize I've made some pretty strong statements, even lately, the last couple of weeks, about prayer service. And that if, you know, I made the statement a couple of weeks ago that if you're in the room, if you're just gonna talk, that I would ask that you don't do that in here, that you go to the foyer. And I understand. Maybe that's a little bit of a hard statement, maybe, and a little bit of a tough stance to take. I didn't want to offend anybody, for sure. But we need to understand that only those that are going to be serious about prayer need to be in the sanctuary. If we're not going to be serious about prayer, then stay in the foyer. But what I want you to understand is that I don't say those things from a place of anger. I'm not mad. I say those things from a foundation of Scripture. How many know if we're a Bible church, we can't pick and choose which parts of the Bible we want to be obedient and which parts of the Bible we want to look like? Because if somebody is in the room, the sanctuary, prayer service, and they're just talking, you know, talking about their day, or, you know, I see people on their phones, not engaged with what God is desiring to do. They don't have enough passion for the service and for the souls to really get plugged in and pray with fervency. Then how many know that that person's actions are showing that they don't have a real faith for the service? Am I right? They don't have a real belief for the service. They did not come with an expectancy. They're just here, whatever happens, happens. You know, I'm just here kind of talking and doing whatever. And whatever happens in the service, I'm just glad to be here. So they don't have an expectancy. They don't have a faith for what God is wanting to do in the room. I want you to look at what Jesus did when he was confronted with that type of attitude. I'm still talking about altar working, because prayer service dictates in many ways what's going to happen in the altar. Look at what Jesus did when he was confronted with that kind of attitude. Mark chapter 5 and verse 40. And they laughed him to scorn. So he shows up, this girl, everybody thinks she's dead. He said she's not dead. He wants to do a miracle in her life. But they lacked faith to believe that God is going to do anything in the room. They have no expectancy that God is going to do anything in the room. And so Look at what the Bible says. They laughed him to scorn. So you know what he did? He put them all out in the foyer. I'm just trying to be like Jesus. But when he had put them all out, he said, okay, listen. Now, he didn't yell at him and scream at him. He wasn't, you know, he just said, listen, we're trying to accomplish something in this room that is miraculous and supernatural. Those of you that want to have the faith to believe for that and show it by your actions, you get to stay in the room. But if you don't want to do that, just go outside. In a little while, the miracle's going to happen, and you can come back in and rejoice with it. And you can celebrate the dead girl coming back alive again. You just don't get to be in the room when it happens. And when the atmosphere is created for it to happen. Now, hallelujah. So he put them all out, and he took the father and the mother of the damsel. He said, you guys get to stay because of your faith and your expectancy. And them that were with him, he said, you guys get to stay too. I read your hearts. I understand your actions show that you have faith and you have belief that I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. You guys have to go out there. You guys stay here. It's not because I'm picking and choosing. It's because of what you've decided. I didn't decide. You've decided with your actions, and your actions have determined where you need to be in the moment of the miraculous. He said, you guys go out there. You guys get to stay here. And then the miracle happened, and he raised her up, and the miracle took place. It wasn't personal. The reality was that Jesus wanted to do something great in the house, and some people's actions were going to hinder that, and some people's actions were going to help that. And so he said, if you're going to hinder, you go out there. If you're going to help, you stay in here. Oh, hallelujah. And so this is why I said what. So don't get offended, please. Don't get offended or don't get mad at me for saying these things. I would just say, instead of getting offended, just start praying. We're not asking you to do anything we're not asking everybody else to do. We're not asking you to do some crazy thing that the word of the Lord is not asking all of us to do. Somebody said amen. So whether it's a Sunday or a Thursday or a service sometime next year, I don't want to be on the outside looking in. I want to be on the inside of what God is doing. I want to be right in the middle of what God is doing. I don't want to have God say, no, you go out there because of your lack of faith and your lack of unbelief. I want my prayer to show, my intensity of prayer, my fervency of prayer to show God, I believe you're going to do something awesome, miraculous, supernatural in the house tonight, today, whatever the case is. I believe. I'm going to show you with the fervency of my prayer. I'm going to help create an atmosphere for you to work your work. Is that all right? So now, and I need, I'm still talking about altar working, but I need somebody to understand why I'm so passionate about our prayer service. And you guys have to understand, you know, the revival that I just came from, the reason I was there in the first place is because of our prayer services. And there's these young pastors, and not even just young, but pastors in our district that are seeing and hearing what we have. And they're saying, we want you to come and we want you to try to impart some of this stuff to us. And so you got to understand why I'm so passionate. The reason I'm so passionate about it is because that is what is modeled to us in Scripture. I want to do what the Bible tells us to do. I want this church to do what the Bible tells us to do. I'm not trying to be a hard-nosed dictator, whatever that word is. Yeah, that word. And just force people to do whatever. No, I'm honestly trying to be obedient to the word of the Lord, and I'm trying to help us all be obedient to the word of the Lord. Watch this. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. Somebody say one accord. In one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. Notice, it was not enough that they were all just in one place. It's not enough to just be in the room. It's not enough that a good percentage of our church shows up in the same place at the time of prayer. That's not biblically what is modeled to us to follow. For the Bible specifically tells us that they were in one accord in that one place. And that phrase, one accord, is very powerful phrase because it signifies that all of their minds, affections, desires, and wishes were concentrated on one object and one object alone, and that was for the outpouring of God's Spirit in their midst. That's what that phrase means. One accord. It means they were all thinking the same thing. They all had the same passion. They all had the same drive. It wasn't a few people over here and a few people over here and some on their phones and some talking about the day or the week or the plans for after church or how cute the baby is. One accord, one passion, one thought. They had one end in view. They had one desire, one prayer. The Spirit of God to move and be made manifest in the house. There were no lukewarm people praying on the day of Pentecost. There were no unconcerned people praying on the day of Pentecost. They were all in earnest, praying in the Spirit until the power of Almighty God came down. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. I'm thankful for the prayer services we have. Sister Vivian, you've helped us and led us beautifully for so many years. But when I read this, I understand we're headed in the right direction, but we got a long way to go. What would happen, Brother Ron, if everybody, Jesus, what would happen if everybody that showed up for prayer service was in one accord and one mind and we all had a passion and we were all praying fervently with a belief for an outpouring of the Spirit of Almighty God. What would happen in our services? What kind of greater miracles could we see? What kind of greater things could we accomplish? What kind of greater apostolic dimensions could we walk in if it wasn't just a handful, if it wasn't just 20%, but 100% of the people in the room said, we're on a mission. I'm praying with fervency. I'm praying with unction. I'm praying with power. I've got a belief. Miracles are going to happen today. Signs and wonders are going to happen today. People are going to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost today. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody said amen. Now I'm going to challenge us. Because it's one thing when the pastor preaches that to stand and clap. It's another thing to carry it out in reality. Because sometimes we're tired. And sometimes we've had bad days. And sometimes we just don't feel like it. And sometimes it's easier to let Sister So-and-so carry the weight. And so we just got to, we're here, but we're just kind of standing. Jesus, God, touch us today, Lord. What would happen if every service we came with the one accord, fervency? Ooh, hallelujah. Somebody said amen. Hallelujah. Intensity. Expected God. What are you believing for? I'm believing for God to show up in a powerful way. What are you believing for? Same thing. What are you believing for? Same thing. What are you believing for? Same thing. And I'm not just saying it with my words. I'm showing it with the fervency of my prayer. Somebody said amen. So this is the mark. This is the mark. If you want to know what a prayer service biblically should look like, that's it. That's the mark. That's where we need to be striving towards. That's what we need to be looking towards. And how many know you can't do that with just 10% of the people? 20% of the people. And we're all in one accord. Oh, hallelujah. So that was modeled to us by our apostolic brothers and sisters in the book of Acts. That's what was modeled to us. It wasn't modeled to us for no reason. It was modeled to us so that we would do what they did. How many know it doesn't change just because it's 2022? It doesn't change. This is the model. It doesn't matter what your schedule looks like. It doesn't matter what my schedule looks like. None of these things change biblical narratives and what is modeled biblically to us. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We change for this. This doesn't change for us. Oh, hallelujah. So whatever we got to do to change in order to follow after the model is what we have to do. Because the model's not going to change. The word is forever settled. When the Lord wanted to show the New Testament church what a prayer service looks like, he said, here you go. Plain, black and white. Read it for yourself. That's what it's to look like. And now you and I have a responsibility to do it. Oh, hallelujah. And how many know when we do it, like they did in the book of Acts, we're probably going to start seeing book of Acts stuff. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody shouts about book of Acts stuff, but until we start doing what they did, we're never going to see what they saw. It's not enough. I'm tired of this one day business. You know, we talked about this before. I'm so tired of this one day stuff. One day we're going to see book of Acts stuff. No, we're not if we keep doing what we're doing. You keep doing what you're doing, you're going to have what you've always had and seen what you've always seen at whatever level you've seen it at. But if we can start doing what they did, instead of just talking about seeing what they saw, oh, hallelujah, then we'll start seeing it. And I want to see it. And this is a great church, and our prayer services is great, and they're wonderful. But you want to know what one of our problems would be? Is the fact that we've got such a great prayer service compared to maybe a lot of other churches that we can rest on that. And we can say, man, I've been to a lot of other churches and their prayer service ain't near like ours. They don't even have prayer service. They don't even have whatever. So we're doing really good. And what would we be doing if we thought like that? We would be comparing ourselves to others instead of the model. I don't want to compare myself to anybody else, to any other church, to any other prayer, whatever. I want to compare myself to the model. And when we compare ourselves to the model, we realize, hey, we're doing some good things and we're heading in the right direction. And I thank God for every one of you and your sacrifice and your dedication. But guess what? We got some work to do. We got some work to do. And that's okay. Nobody's upset. We're going in the right direction. We're doing good. We just can't stop. And we just can't be satisfied. Because all of that which happens in prayer service affects what happens here. Somebody said amen. All right, so now we're moving through. We're moving through the service. Prayer service is ended. Okay, prayer service is ended at whatever point that is. And the Spirit at that point, through prayer, is going to lead us, right? To lead us to do whatever we're going to do next. And that's either going to be probably either singing, praise and worship unto the Lord, or to go right into a time of preaching. If we do move into a time of praise and worship, it is vitally important that we understand that what we're doing is way more than just singing songs, clapping hands, waving our arms. It's way more than that. It's way more than just singing some songs. We need to have a real revelation of the word of the Lord when it says this in Psalms 149 and verse 6. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. To do what? To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. Now watch verse 8. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgment written. This honor, this ability, this calling, this right has been given to all his saints. We have any saints of the Lord in the house? So get this. The honor and the privilege that has been bestowed upon you and I, upon the saints of God, is that when we give praise and worship unto the Lord with intensity, with passion, with depth, with fervency, it then has the power to move into a spiritual dimension and bind the king of this world in this room with chains and put every demonic spirit in this room in fetters of iron. You see what I'm talking about when I say it's more than just singing a song. It's more than just clapping the hand. But if it is done correctly, and if it is not performance driven, because if it's performance driven, what you get is the accolades of men, and it stays in a fleshly dimension. But if it is done correctly, fervently, passionately, righteously, from a holy heart, from a holy place, that praise moves into a dimension of the Spirit. And it binds the work of the adversary in this church. It binds the lies of the enemy. It stops the attack of the adversary in this service. Oh, hallelujah. When it is done from a place of true worship. Not shallow, but real, genuine worship. Ooh, hallelujah. Now, some of you would never know this. It happened years ago. But we had two ladies visit one Sunday. Hadn't been back since. Visited one Sunday. And one of them, man, she had all kind of demonic spirits at work in her life. And I'll never forget this. It was during altar or worship or something. It might have been worship. Place just exploding, everybody's coming down, and these two ladies come down. And I'll never forget, one of the ladies that had the demonic stuff on her, she falls to the ground. I think it was about right there. She falls to the ground, just falls. And I walk by her, and I'll never forget this. She's going like this. You could tell she wants so badly to say something, to scream out, to whatever. But I walked by and she was just going, like that. She was straining so hard, but all that would come out was just like, that's it. She doesn't make a sound. That's all she does. Doesn't affect nothing. We closed the service, and they're walking out, and it was so funny. I just happened to be by, and I heard it. The other lady, her friend, I heard her say, "What was wrong with you today?" She said, "Back at home, you're the loudest one in church." You know what it was? Some real genuine praise went forth. And somebody that had been sent to distract and to hinder, praise went forth. And some chains got around her and said, "You ain't going to do that today. You're not going to do that today. You're just going to sit right here and you're going to be quiet and you're not going to mess up nothing. Because God's going to do his work and you're not going to hinder it." Why? Because some people decided to genuinely, passionately praise and worship God Almighty. It's more than singing a song. It's more than clapping the hand. It's more than playing an instrument. Come on. It's got to be powerful. It's got to be like fire shut up in our bones. It's got to be an understanding where we're not just saying praise word and thinking about where we're going to go eat after dinner or after service. No, where we got to get lost in the presence of Almighty God, where we are totally lost in His presence and in His power. And we're singing and giving praise and worshiping and clapping and dancing and shouting and running under the anointing and the power of Almighty God. Stops it. Somebody said amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. How many know that when these people show up, Sunday, Thursday, these people are going to show up and they're going to have all kinds. The enemy is going to be so at work in their lives. So at work. And what they need the most is for you and I to become so passionate with our praise and so intense with our worship that it releases the Holy Ghost to bind the work of the enemy in their life for this period of time. To give them clarity to say yes to Jesus. Now, if they want to pick the spirit back up after they leave the doors, that's on them. But what we need to do is create an environment and an atmosphere through prayer and praise and worship where we give them a space of grace, where they have the ability to choose Jesus, because the adversary has been put aside for a season of time, and now God is saying, you can freely make the choice without any adversarial obstruction. You can make the choice. Who will you serve? Oh, hallelujah. So we're still talking about altar working. And many times it's in the altar when they make the choice. So how are they going to be able to make the choice if they don't have a space of grace? And how are they going to have a space of grace? It's because we give praise and worship unto the Lord. Somebody said amen. And I got to hurry. Not only that, but please remember this. And I'll just say this and we'll move on. Psalms 22 and 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Speaking of the Lord, the Bible tells us that God inhabits, He dwells, He releases Himself into the atmosphere that was created through the praises of His people. How many know you can't heal one person and neither can I? You can't deliver one person and neither can I. You can't save, fill one person with the gift of the Holy Ghost and neither can I. We need to release God into the atmosphere. Out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water. This is a spake he of the Holy Ghost. We've got to release it through our praise and worship. He inhabits the praises of His people. And when we release Him through praise and worship into this atmosphere, we release Him to heal, deliver, set the captive free. This is why it's all so important. So now the praise and worship service is over. And the preaching of God's word has begun. Now hear me very carefully. As it relates to the vision that God has given us for Sunday, I want you to know, I'm going to tell you right now, I will not be preaching anything new. I'm telling you right now. I'm going to be talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to be talking about the need for the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to be talking about how to receive the Holy Ghost. Has anybody ever heard that talked about before? If you've been in church any length of time at all, you've heard those things talked about hundreds of times. And yet, if people, this is important, now listen, if people who need the Holy Ghost are going to respond in prayer in the altar, it's going to be because those that have the Holy Ghost responded with some amens in the preaching. This is more important than what you think it is. Please don't have that attitude some people have. Yeah, that preacher, he just can't do nothing unless I amen him. He's always begging for an amen. You missed the whole thing. Do a little study on some stuff. You got to understand about how there is a vertical anointing and there's a horizontal anointing. And if you want your pastor to be anointed when he preaches, the vertical anointing, you don't have nothing to do with that, but you do have a lot to do with the horizontal anointing. And a lot of times I've preached with the vertical anointing and not the horizontal, not necessarily in this church, but oh boy, you get the vertical and the horizontal flowing at the same time. Woo! It's awesome. I thought about jumping off this platform before. Then I looked down, I thought, no. I'm not 20 anymore. Let me just take the stairs. But that's what you feel like doing at least. Not horizontal and vertical. Anyway, so, but it's important. It is important that we understand that when I preach this Sunday, and really when I preach anytime, but when anybody preaches for that matter, next Sunday, this Sunday, whatever, especially when it comes to repentance, water baptism, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, it's vitally important that you stand and clap, shout, get excited about the word of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Please don't think, well, I mean, we all know who this message is for, so I'm just going to sit here and, you know, hopefully they're getting it. Please don't do that. You have to understand your part. Your part. You play a vital part in the altar. And a lot of it has to do with how you respond as a 30-year-old veteran of this thing. Okay? That when the preacher's talking about the Holy Ghost, man, yes, amen. Oh, hallelujah. Because you've experienced it for yourself to be true. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. When I talk about, you know, if I say something like, man, the Holy Ghost is the greatest thing that's ever happened, I shouldn't have to say, come on, church, don't you believe that? I shouldn't have to, when I say, especially Sunday, but for all the time, when I say the Holy Ghost is the greatest thing that's ever happened, man, we should be on our, yes, amen, hallelujah. Come on, just because we've had the Holy Ghost for 30 years, it shouldn't have been diminished in our lives. It should still be the greatest thing that's ever happened. We should still know that it's the greatest thing that's ever happened. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So make sure on Sunday when I talk about these things that you respond just like that. Loudly. With passion and exuberance. Because these guests, they don't know. They don't know. Some of them are going to be hearing about the Holy Ghost for the first time. And all of a sudden, I'm going to say, man, the Holy Ghost is the greatest thing that's ever happened. And they're going to be sitting there, and all of a sudden, you guys are going to be like, wow. And they're going to be like, oh, my word. It must be true. That really must, whatever that Holy Ghost thing is, I don't really know exactly what it is yet, but these people are very excited about it. And see how that can start building some faith? Because that person who doesn't even really know a lot about it, they're saying, man, if all these people are so excited about it, I think I might want something like that. Oh, hallelujah. Do you see how the part you play is so important? Oh, hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. It's vitally important that we mix our faith with the word first so that the guests can mix their faith with the word second. They don't know how to mix faith with the word. They need to see it modeled to them. So let's mix our faith. Amen. I believe that. The Holy Ghost is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. Praise God. We're mixing our faith with the word of the Lord. We model to them what it looks like to put our faith and our confidence in the word of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. And again, what that looks like, standing. It looks like clapping. It looks like saying amen loud enough for people around you to hear it. Not just amen. Amen. So people around you can hear you saying an amen. Oh, hallelujah. I believe that, preacher. Good preaching, preacher. That's so true, preacher. That's what it looks like. Excitement about the preaching of the word of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We need to show them. We need to show them how precious the gift of the Holy Ghost is. Somebody said amen. Everybody good? So now I'm done preaching. And I'm about to make the altar appeal. Okay? Now, let me stop here. We addressed this a couple years ago. We need to address it again.